Well, that was fun. Amen. Worshiping Jesus with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love Him. Amen. Amen. I love Him. Praise God. I hope you love Him. Amen. I am in love with Jesus. I am in love with God and the Holy Ghost and His plan and His Word. He's so good. He's so good, you know, and He just loves you. And I'm really excited about tonight because I believe it'll be a blessing to you and comfort you and help you and encourage you going forward. So go with me to John 16, 33. That's where we've been. This is the third night of our series that we're on called Being Prepared. Those other messages are online. You can check those out on the archive. And they've been helping us. Amen. We need to be prepared. Amen. God's trying to help us right now, but also with things to come in the future. Yes. Father, we're just so thankful and so grateful for your precious word tonight. Lord, help us. And what I mean by that, Father, is we want your will to take place tonight. Father, it doesn't matter what I think we should do or what I think we should say. You have a plan for this service. So, Father, may your words be said. May your deeds be done. Father, help us to hit the mark tonight. And Lord, I know, and by doing so, it'll be a blessing unto the hearers. Father, I'm just the mailman. Lord, I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So Father, as I open my mouth tonight, I thank you, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I thank you, I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Lord, as your will takes place in this service, we are confident that you'll touch hearts and change lives. You'll speak to us. So, Father, I thank you that lives will be changed, destinies will be overturned tonight. And, Lord, you'll always get the praise. Father, we're not magnifying a minister. Lord, we're not magnifying the name of the church. We're magnifying your Son, Jesus, for he's everything to us. We're so grateful. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in John chapter 16, in verse 33, it says, these things, Jesus said, I've spoken unto you, that in me you have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Well, this coronavirus, quarantine, all this, it's proven. The world you'll have tribulation. That's what the world has to offer us. He said, you'll have tests and trials, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we're talking about being prepared. Being prepared for what? The tests. Being prepared for, the tribulation, I don't mean the tribulation in Revelation. I believe as the rapture, we're taken out of here. We're not going to be here for the tribulation anyways, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life tests and adversity and opposition that comes against us. Jesus promised those to us. It's not a bad confession. Thank God he's warning us. Amen. I always appreciate it when a teacher said a test is coming up, you know. I didn't like the pop quizzes. I didn't like, when all of a sudden, you know, you show up and you think you're going to do one thing and then, you know, 5 minutes later you're taking a test that you're not ready for. But we don't have to be unprepared. We might not know every single test that's coming or the date and the time or in what format they'll manifest, but everything in the Word that we can prepare for will take care of any type of test that comes our way, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's with our children, whether it's in our minds and our bodies, whether it's with opposition from people. God's Word has it all. Jesus told us, hey, you can be of good cheer, is what he said in the end. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, if he's telling us we can be of good cheer with tests that are coming, it must mean we can be of good cheer because we have the answers. Yeah. We know how to get by, praise God. And again, I'm just going over a quick review. You can look at the other sermons to see more on this, but we know this in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says to be sober and to be vigilant because we have an adversary, the devil. Thank you, Lord, for telling us who our enemy is. Amen. Jesus isn't your enemy. The Holy Ghost isn't, God isn't, it's the devil. And the Bible says to be sober. In Ephesians 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God that we'd be able to stand against the wiles or the tests of the devil. So thank God, we know we're going to have tests. We know who's bringing these tests. We can be ready. And even though these tests manifest in the natural, what do I mean? They show up in our money. They show up in our bodies. They show up in our families. They show up in outward circumstances. Our adversary is not a natural adversary. Our adversary is a spiritual adversary. And that's what it says over in Ephesians chapter 6. It says that we wrestle not against the natural, but our battle is against our adversary, which is the spiritual, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual wickedness in high places, all of the devil's kingdom, which is not natural, it's spiritual. So if you're going to take a test, you want to prepare for the test. If the teacher says you're going to have a biology test on Friday, don't study your math.
That's good.
Probably not the time to be studying nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs.
Right. Yeah.
I want to get in the biology book, right?
Right. Amen.
I always say this, you know, there's that new documentary out on Michael Jordan. And even though Michael Jordan did play a lot of golf, you know, he didn't spend the majority of his time at a driving range or on the ice rink. He spent the majority of his time not on a baseball field either. He spent the, and it showed up in his baseball playing. I mean, he didn't do too well if he played baseball, you know. It showed up. He spent most of his time on the basketball court. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if we have a test coming, and the tester is the devil, he's the one that brings us trials and tribulations, and he's from the spiritual realm, we better get ready spiritually. And a whole lot of people are not spiritually ready. You know, we sow a lot and give a lot of attention to the natural man, feed the natural man, work out the natural man, work on our minds, you know, make sure our bodies, make sure the carnal man's right. And that's not the battle. The battle's the spirit, from the spirit man. We reign and rule from the spirit man. So the spirit man needs to be strong. And so I told you, you know, that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they're getting a lot of attention. They probably get mad right now. I'm touching my nose, but it itches. I got to touch my nose. What do you do? I don't know what to do. I got to do it. It's itching up here. I promise I won't touch them after. Stay away, boys. Stay away. And anyways, so all you CDC people out there, don't send me hate mail. You don't understand the severity of the itch. It's itching. So anyways, you know, they have guidelines, don't they? Hand washing guidelines, don't touch your face guidelines, what to do with masks and gloves and things. And those guidelines are meant to what? Keep people safe. Keep people protected and keep people blessed. But thank God we don't just have the CDC guidelines. We have the PMA guidelines. And for those of you that are ignorant to what those are, it's the Pastor Mike Anderson guidelines. And I just stole them from the Bible, praise God. And what we're talking about, being prepared, to stay prepared to get through this test or the tests that are coming, is we need to stay spiritually ready.
Yes.
Spiritually prepared, praise God. Spiritually strong. And the PMA guidelines, that's just what that is, to get us ready, to get us, just keep us prepared, praise God. And last week we looked at the first of the PMA guidelines, which was every day spend time in God's Word. Say, why? It just please God to read my Bible. Listen, if you read your Bible or don't read your Bible, it doesn't do a lick for God. He already gave you Jesus. He already loves you. You're already saved. But reading the Word of God, Jesus said, man cannot truly live. And that word live is not heartbeat live. It means the life of God. Man cannot experience abundant life through bread alone, but by every word, Matthew 4:4, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's word is supernatural nourishment for our spirit. It is supernatural supplements, supernatural calories, supernatural protein to build our spirit, man. Praise God. And we know how important it is to have faith. The Bible says we overcome based on our faith. We can receive based on our faith. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh. So faith's got to come a certain way. You won't find faith coming any other way. You could read your Bible from now until next week at this time, and you won't find any other way that faith's going to come. You can't beg for it. You can't pray for faith to come. You can't wish for faith to come. You can't sow money for faith to come. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So that faith we need, you can't have the faith that you need apart from the Word of God. It comes from hearing and hearing. So if you're not in a position where you are hearing and hearing, you are also in a position where you don't have very strong faith, because faith can't survive without the Word. It can't be birthed, it can't survive, it can't thrive without the Word. So we encouraged you, every day be in the Word. Now, if you heard this message last week and say, well, I didn't do that, well, praise God, there's today and there's tomorrow. Just pick up and get on the doing the right thing, praise God, and walk these guidelines out. They'll help you. And you can look at that message last week to see why that's important, and we looked in that more detail. But tonight we're going to the second of the PMA guidelines to keep you blessed every day and to keep you ready for the tests that come, and it's every day spend time in prayer. Amen. And we're going to talk about prayer tonight. Go with me to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Now, it is important to mention this concerning prayer, that you can teach a whole year on prayer. Every service. I mean, there's the subject is so large, I guess you'd say, that to get it out in one night, you just couldn't do it. Maybe sometime in the near future, we'll preach a series on just prayer. But there's that itch again. Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. Well, all the CDC people probably turned me off. I said, we can't watch this guy. He's breaking all our rules. Got to take care of the itch. But anyways, but tonight I was seeking God on what to share concerning prayer. And I was so blessed by what the Holy Ghost has put on my heart, because it blessed me so much, and I know it's going to bless you. I'm just itching to get it out, you know, to help you and to bless you. So Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said this. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, saying that men ought always to pray. Well, isn't that what Pastor Mike's telling you to do? See, I just stole from Jesus. He lets me do it, though. He says, go ahead, take my words. He says, always pray. Well, what am I telling you to do? Every day, consistently, be a prayer. But look at what the Bible says about it. That men ought always to pray and to not faint. Look at the result of being a person of prayer. You don't faint. Well, we know we can't faint. The Bible says in Galatians 6 that if you faint not, you'll reap. We know there's going to be opportunities in this world with these tests, with these storms that beat against us and batter us and hit us. There's going to be opportunities to faint, to walk into quitting, to walk into laying it down, to surrendering. And we can't do that if we're going to reap. We see faith people in the Bible, the ones that got over into their blessing, man, they stood strong. They pressed through some things. They battled and they were faithful till the end, praise God. Well, the Bible gives us an indication of how we can get in a place where we're not going to faint. What's that? Pray. Have constant communication with God. So this verse clearly tells us and shows us it's important that we pray. Hallelujah. I mean, I could show you, we don't have time, I'm going to go a specific way. Prayer is just communication with the Father. He's the all-knowing one. He's the one that knows if you should or you shouldn't. He's the one that, you know, if you do or you don't. He's the one that knows how to get you out of your problems. He knows how to get you into your promised land. He knows how to get you into your answer. He's the one with the information.
Yes, thank you, Father.
You know, I don't know if my sister remembers this or not, but I remember this. When we were little, and my mom could testify to this, I was terrible when it came to Christmas presents. I don't like surprises. I want to know. And so when she'd put presents under the tree, or I'd know she maybe had gone shopping, I just lost all sense of normalcy. And just the calmness threw out the window. The anxiety went through the roof, you know. What's going to be under the tree for me? And I would spend a lot more time with my sister when we were younger, around Christmas time, in different times, walking into a room, seeing if I can get some answers, seeing what she knows. You know, she's got the information. You know, sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't. And try to get that out of her. You know, well, it's the same thing. Think about it. The Father has all the information. all your presents, all your surprises, all your blessings. He knows everything you should and you shouldn't do. He knows how to get you out of the hard places. Answers are found in prayer. Praise God. Revelation for your life is found in prayer. Him showing you future things to come. How many of you know it pays to know the future? I mean, people all over the world are paying people to give them some bunk, junk, hogwash type word about their future, right? And we have a future teller in God and the Holy Ghost who said, I'll show you things to come. Well, that's beneficial, praise God. In prayer, we get wisdom from Him. How many of you ever had to get answers from Him? He's not up there wondering, I don't know what, how do you figure that out? He's got all the answers. Praise God. We get encouragement. Now, we might not like this as much, but it's good. We get correction in prayer. Yeah. I'm thankful for correction. Amen. Why? Correction corrects me from telling me to stop doing the things that are wrong. Because the things that are wrong are the things that are hurting me. And I don't want to be hurt. And neither do you, praise God. And so God has so much for us in prayer. And we could talk about the benefits of prayer. We could talk about all the good things that come from prayer. But Luke 18:1 sums it up. Always pray, Jesus said, the result will be you won't faint. So we know by that verse, there's great things that come from praying. Amen. But, there's that but. Gotta get that but out of the way. If we don't pray, think of what could be lost. Jesus said, if you pray, you won't faint. So you could say this, the person that doesn't pray always is more apt or likely to faint and not make it. If we get answers in prayer, encouragement, revelation, correction that's needed to help us, if we get answers and future things are shown in prayer, what happens when we don't go to that place? We don't get those blessings. So I want to help you tonight with your prayer life to what? Get you praying. That's what we're trying to do is I hopefully tonight I'm like spiritual jumper cables to get hooked up to you and jump you into what? Praying. Because there's so much that God wants to get over to you that is only accessed or received in a place of prayer. And you can't, see, we're faith people, but faith can't take the place of prayer. Just like prayer can't take the place of faith. We're people that believe in sowing seed. Sowing seed can't take the place of what prayer does. Just like prayer can't take the place of what sowing seed does. And so we need to be prayers. And I believe tonight, this is what I'm so excited about, that what God has put on my heart, it will motivate you. It will comfort you. It'll warm your heart and jumpstart you to want to start praying and fellowshipping with the Father. And the good thing about this is, no matter where we're at, how many of you know we're all at different places? Some of us might be knocking it out of the park on a consistent basis praying. Some of us might just be hitting singles. Some of us might be hitting it infield singles, you know. Some of us might be popping out. Some of us might be striking out. Some of us might not even be showing up to the field. But here's my encouragement to you. No matter where you're at, it's going to help you tonight to go forward into better. Praise God. Go with me to Matthew 7 and verse 7. So here we are. We're getting some help with praying because Jesus told us to always do it. Why? So we can waste our time? No, so we can receive from heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. The first thing that you're going to want to see to help you, to motivate you, to jumpstart you into praying is you need to understand that the Father longs for that time of prayer. Let me say it again. The Father, the Heavenly Father, longs for your place with Him in prayer. Now, see, we have to stop looking at God as a religious entity, as an entity of rules and black and white and rigid. We have to look at God through the eyes of how Jesus looked at God. Jesus didn't look at God through the eyes of rules and regulations. Jesus didn't look at God through the eyes of just black and white. Jesus, who is our example, looked at God as who he was, which was what? A loving Father. Now go with me to Matthew 7 and verse 7. We can see God uses in the Word natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. So you might say, well, you can't compare God, a spiritual being, to a natural father. We can if Jesus does. Yes. Amen. If Jesus gives us that example, we certainly can. Well, in Matthew 7 and verse 7, it says, ask and it'll be given unto you. And this is talking about prayer. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it'll be opened. Now he's going to give an example. He's preaching this to people who no doubt are parents. He says, what man is there among you in this crowd today, he's saying, what man among you, if his son were to ask for bread, would give him a stone? Well, no good parent's going to say, yeah, here, chew on some rocks, kid. He says, or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a snake? Something that could hurt them? Something that could kill them? Well, no good parent would do that. And the Bible says, if you then, being evil, compared to how God is, because he just got done explaining responsible good parents, parents that take care of their children. But he says, if you then, in your fallen evil state, know how to give good things to your children, he says, how much more? You need to say that right now. How much more? Say that. He says, how much more? He's saying, if now think about it. All you that are watching, that are parents, that love your children, you work, you make their meals, you put them to bed, your whole life, it just revolves around them. You know the love and the care that goes into taking care of them. You know what you give towards them. You know how you feel. And the Bible says that God is a how much more than you even do for your own children. Man, oh man. That's who dad is? Praise God. Give good things to them that ask him. Now, I want to say this because it is on my heart to do so. God is the absolute epitome of a perfect loving dad.
Yes, yes, amen.
Now, sometimes people like to cling to their experiences rather than cling to the Word, and it's wrong. The Word trumps experiences, right? For example, if you come down with symptoms in your body, you can't say, well, because I have symptoms in my body, therefore the word on healing is not true. No, the word's true. Well, I have some financial trouble, therefore the word on God meeting my needs, it's not true. No, we don't look and view who God is based on our experiences. We find out who the Father is based on the Word. Now, when I talk about people looking at God as a loving Father, people will instantly start comparing how their relationship with their dad was and making God equal to what that was. And some people had wonderful relationships with their father. And I'm grateful for those people that got to do that. You know, Courtney, she had a great relationship with her dad. Well, I had a dad, a biological father, that didn't even want anything to do with me. And then the guy I do call dad, you know, he's not warm and fuzzy and cuddly, never really was. So if I were to take those examples, I would have a skewed view of who God was. And a lot of people take how their dad mistreated them, abused them, didn't love them, weren't kind and caring to them, and instantly say, I can't receive or look at God as a loving father. You can if you renew your mind.
Yes, that's so good.
The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you stay away from God and don't run to him and fall into his loving arms and receive what he has for you because you had a bad experience with a natural father, you have some renewing of the mind to do. What do you mean renewing of the mind? Renewing your mind to who God is. And this is one of those verses where God tells you, he's talking to good parents, and he says, I know you're good parents and you take care of kids, but I'm a how much more God. So even if you had a bad experience, God is still a how much more God, and you need to renew your mind. I just helped somebody. Because there are people that will not receive from God, will not run to Him, will not dive in with Him because of an adverse situation or circumstance. And I'm not downplaying. And I'm not dismissing that people have suffered and gone through awful things. But you can't live there. You can't dwell there. You can't let that be how you see your Heavenly Father. You have to funnel your thoughts of Him through the Bible. And if you'll do that, you'll say, you know, maybe I didn't have the best dad. Maybe I didn't have the best experience with my dad, but the one I have now. Oh, the one I have now, he'll never leave me. He'll never hurt me. He'll never physically abuse me. He'll never not care for me. Oh, he's so good. Let him love you. The devil would love to keep you there. Let God love you. Amen. The Father longs for this time. You know, I long for time with my children. Just this morning, I was up in my office after I'd come downstairs and had to do some things and went up into my office and I'm laying there and I'm just having my phone out and the Word open on my phone and I'm just meditating on the Word. And I told you that Abby had gotten on her iPad, we finally let her start texting, and she can text her grandparents, her mom, her brother, and me, and she likes to do it. She's good around those emojis and those question marks, especially if you don't get back quick enough. Oh, the question marks start flying. So if you ever have received that from me, we are. She's got the genetics of being a high maintenance texter. Where are you? Text me back. Where the heck did you go? You know, forgive me. But anyways, and she texted me this morning, and she said, "Daddy, can I come up and say hi?" Because she wasn't awake yet. And I'll tell you what, that blessed me so much. My daughter wants to be in my presence. And she said, "Can I lay with you?" I said, "Come on." Cuddled her up. And then all of a sudden I heard someone else coming up the stairs. And it was Caleb. And he wanted to be part of the mix. And there was no room for him. We were laying. But he sat on the floor. And it just blessed me knowing my children pursued me where I was. The Father longs for this fellowship. If you'll look at Him as a loving dad, just like you parents, you love when your children come to you and your children want to spend time with you. Imagine, remember, we can compare Him to a natural dad now because the Bible says only He's that much better. Imagine how it makes Him feel when we spend time with Him. And we're going to see some things that will help us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Are you being helped tonight? Amen. Amen. I mean, I was meditating on this and I went for a walk today and it just changed even my whole outlook on that walk because I spent time praying on that walk. And just spending time with Him on that walk, it was different. Yeah. The Word changes us. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm here tonight. I wish all of you were, but at least you're joining us by faith. Praise God. God is faithful. Praise God. Amen. See, even stuff like that. God is your Father. Maybe you had a parent that didn't keep their word. Maybe you had a parent that told you, promised you the moon, didn't give you anything, you know. That's not who your Father is now. Praise God. You hit the jackpot with this one. Glory to God. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
The fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that word fellowship means communication and intimacy. Your Father is expecting and wanting and called us to what? Communicate with Him. To be intimate with Him in the sense of getting close with Him. Getting to know Him. Spending time with Him. Praise God. Now the awesome thing about this is God has been desiring to be in fellowship with mankind since the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, I'm going to read this real quick. Genesis 3 and verse 8, praise God. I can't wait to show you this one thing the Lord showed me. You might already know it, but boy, it just blessed my socks off. Praise God. We'll get to that in a second. But Genesis 3 and verse 8, talking about Adam and Eve, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They heard the voice of God. Well, what does it say in verse 9? The Lord called unto Adam and said, where are you? What does that show us? God said, I want to be with my creation. Where are you, Adam? Come out, wherever you are. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you, praise God. Hallelujah. That blesses me. Now, we know Adam and Eve missed it. And we know that forever the fellowship with God was broken from that place, right? But look at over at Exodus 25 and verse 8. Exodus, Adam, where are you? You know what he's saying to you? Oh, child of God, where are you? Come fellowship with me. Come dine with me. Come sit with me. Praise God. Exodus 25. Oh, this will just change the way you view him. It'll just make you just fall in love with him more and more. Praise God. Exodus 25 in verse 8. This is God now speaking unto Moses. Chapter 25, verse 1 says that the Lord spoke to Moses. But look what he says in verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary. Now this is talking about the Ark of the Covenant, which, without getting into too much history here, the Ark of the Covenant was in the Old Testament where the presence of God dwelt inside a box. Aren't you glad he came out of the box and now lives with us? But back then, the presence of God lived in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. And they would bring that wherever they would go, the Israelites would carry that around with them because the presence of God brought good things. And when they would build a tabernacle or a temple, they would place that Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God dwelt in the very center of that tabernacle or that temple, and it was called the Holy of Holies. And not everybody could go into there, only certain people, certain times of the year. But the point was this. God says, let them make me a sanctuary. Why? So I can be famous and you know, just be over everybody and rule and reign. No. So I can dwell among them. God says, I want to be with my people. Praise God, the God of the universe. See, what these kind of verses do, what the Word does, is it brings them down to a level, not in an irreverent place, but where we see Him as that loving Father, and not just the rule giver God, and the God that's up there chastising and just trying to strike you down. No, He loves you. In the garden, He's saying, where's my creation? In Exodus 25, He's saying, build me a sanctuary so I can move in there and I can be with my people. Praise God. Now, we know that Jesus came, praise God, and changed things. God's no longer in a box. God wanted to move out of the box, and God wanted to move inside of you. He said, I know a way I can be around Him all the time. I'm just going to get on the inside of my creation. But go with me to Hebrews 10:15. I want to show you where we're at now. And it'll show you the Father's heart. Hebrews 10:15. So many people are so flippant towards Him, are so careless of caring of what they might make Him feel like. Oh, we like Him blessing us. Oh, we want the money to keep coming. Oh, we want the favor to keep coming. And we don't even think. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I just told a good story about Abby, and I'm going to tell you a different one, you know. She was on the couch. I was on the other couch, little divide between us. And I said, come over here and lay with me. And she said, only if I can get a game on my iPad. I said, no, just come over and lay with me. She said, I'm not coming then. I thought, oh, where's the wooden spoon? Whack! No, I didn't. We were just messing around and joking around. But you understand what the difference there is. She said, I'll come and be with you, Dad, if I can get something. We love God giving us stuff, but we are so careless to remember that He's a lover of His creation, that He longs to be with His people. Pray. I hope this helps you. Praise God. Hebrews 10 and verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also was a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Isn't he so good? Takes away all our failures. Ladies and gentlemen, your Father is not like a human being. People like to let you know when you messed up. Especially when you wronged them. You know, they like to hold that over you. They like to make you pay a price. God's not that way. He says, you know what I want to do with your sins and your wrongs? I don't even want to think about them anymore. I just want to look at you as clean. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He says, I will remember their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now look at this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, praise God, by the blood of Jesus. Now you have to remember, only a priest, a certain priest, a certain times of the year, was able to go into that holy of holies and commune or be around that presence of God. Back in the old times. That's what's called the Holy of Holies. But now the Bible says, we have boldness to enter into where? His presence. The Old Testament saints, I never thought it this way, it just came up in my heart. The Old Testament saints would lose their minds if they saw how New Testament saints treat the presence of God. They all wanted to get into the Holy of Holies, but they only got to watch a certain person do it a couple times a year. And now, we get to enter into the Holy of Holies. What's the Holy of Holies? In His presence. When you get on your knees and you pray, you have entered into the Holy of Holies. We have access in a relationship with our Father that they never could have dreamed of. And we take it so casually. To the point where we ignore it. To the point where we don't spend any time there. To the point where we're so casual about it. Oh, and here the Father. How did He do it? It says, because of the blood of Jesus. We can enter in so freely and be with our Father only because of the blood of Jesus. You know what that tells me? God was willing. Your Father was willing to pay the highest price imaginable. Why? That's how bad He wanted you to be able to enter in and to fellowship and commune with Him. Praise God. By a new and living way, verse 20, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Doesn't the Bible say if you'll draw near unto God, He'll draw near unto you? He's such a gentleman. He will not force you to love on Him. Sometimes I force my kids to be around me. You know, get over here. You're going to like it. He don't force us. He says, draw near. And if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise God. He says, not only do I want you to come to me, not only have I paid the highest price imaginable to enable you to come unto me, but I want you to come unto me guilt-free. I want you, now we're natural beings, we're sinful beings in our flesh. He says, even in that state, I want you to come to me hearts assured, conscience clean. He's not saying, oh, come here so I can give you a good one. No, no, no. Come here. I want to love on you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at Hebrews 4:16. What are we trying to do? Help you to get praying? I already want to pray. I just have for this because, wow, Lord, you love me that much and you paid that high of a price. Yes, let me come and fellowship with you. Oh, wow. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What's this? A forever invitation. It's an eternal invitation into His presence. He's always saying, you have an open invitation. Whenever you start to get in your head and you start to think, I don't know, God, I'm not sure He'd want. No, He says in your time of need, in the worst of the worst, when you've missed it the most and you're in the greatest time of need, God says, eternal invitation. Come to Me. I can give you grace and mercy. I love you. I want to help you. Praise God. But so many people are staying out of His presence. Now, this is what really blessed me. This whole thing's blessed me. The Word always blesses me. But I had never seen this before. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 6. Remember, we're looking at Him as a father, a loving father. And I'm here to tell you, I think I'm a loving father. You know, there's nothing more I think I could do for my kids or how I love my kids that I guess I'd say this. I don't feel like I'm missing the mark. I don't call myself a perfect dad. But as far as my love and care for them goes, I don't know how it could get any more or how it could get any better. But the Bible says He's a how much more God. And I know you feel that way about your children as well. And so we can look at some things as a natural father, and we love having our kids in our presence. We love when our kids come to our presence. And now we find God paid a pretty high price so we could be with Him. He's been trying to get in His creation's presence from the beginning of the Garden of Eden. Praise God. Matthew 6, 6, look what it says. But you, when you pray, what's that? When you commune with the Father, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Now, are you ready for this? Come on. The Holy Ghost pointed this out to me when I was meditating on the love of the Father. The Holy Ghost says, your dad desires one-on-one time with you. One-on-one time with the Father is special. My kids know that one-on-one time, when I take them outside the house and go do something just one-on-one, that is extra special time. Abby and I, we do little dates. Of course, one of our favorite places to go on a date, see, this kid's got my genetics. She's got my high-maintenance texting genetics, but she's got the love of Taco Bell genetics running through her blood. She loves steak, jerky, deer meat, glory to God. I know, hit it out of the park, and all I can get Caleb to eat is grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly. Buddy, what are we going to do with all the stuff, the deer we're going to get, and all that? But we're going to have to give all that stuff away. So everybody just line up. But Caleb's getting his license, more tags. Get ready, because he ain't going to eat it. Amen. Praise God. When Abby and I would go on date nights to Taco Bell, maybe we might go get a toy and just spend time together. Caleb and I are in the woods and we go hunting. That one-on-one time is quality, special time. It's great when the whole family's together. It's great when we're all here and we're praising God together. It's great when you're praying at home around your dinner table. But the Bible says, God gives you instruction. Get away from everything. Get away from everything. Go into a quiet place and spend time with Me. The Father is saying, I desire one-on-one time with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to look real quick at some things from Jesus' prayer life that will help you, because again, we're trying to help you to get you going in prayer, because so many people have hindrances when it comes to praying. What do I say? It's awkward, you know, different things like that. I want to help you. Jesus is our example. And Jesus, He gave thanks in prayer and worshiped in prayer. Now, I want to tell you something about this. Praise and worship is the starting place. You say, well, I don't know what to do. It's oftentimes, you know, especially when I used to have youth group and I'd tell kids, okay, let's worship God, or let's pray, let's worship God. And they would say, you know, they would sit there quiet. They don't know what to do. They've, you know, it takes learning how to fellowship with God, you know, and doing it how the Word says. And it's, and we'll get to this in a second, it's not like human interaction. And if you're longing for human interaction, it's a lesser interaction than what God's offered us. Because God's above a human. Praise God. And I would tell the kids, I'd say, just start thanking Him. Just start thanking Him. Do you have anything to be thankful for? And they'd say, yes. Thank Him for that. Are you thankful for your food? Are you thankful for your clothes? Are you thankful for your health and your body? Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for your toys? Are you thankful for your home? Are you thankful for your pets? Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He worshiped and thanked the Father. Matthew 6 and verse 9, we'll just look at a couple places. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, look at the first thing He says. He gave us an example of how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What's He saying? I worship You, Father. I praise You, Father. Hallelujah. I heard it put this way, and it's so true. Giving thanks to Him and praising Him is thanking Him for what He's done, what He's doing. Worship is worshiping Him for who He is. Praise God. And Jesus is worshiping the Father, and we see so many other examples. Go to Luke 4 in verse 8. Praise God. What am I doing? Jump-starting your prayer life tonight. Some of us need jump starts. Jesus answers to get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship. You shall worship. Do you see that? You shall worship the Lord thy God. What's He giving us instructions? What to do in prayer time? Worship the Father. Worship Him for what? Who He is. Savior, healer, provider, protector, guide, comforter. All these things. Praise God. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Again, we're looking at Jesus' prayer life. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee. You see that there? I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And then He goes on and thanks Him for some things. What's Jesus given us an example of what we can do in prayer? How to pray? Thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Thanksgiving and praise. Now, go to Psalms 104. I'm going to help you. Psalms 100 and verse 4. Oh, this is going to set people free. So many people think they're not worthy to pray. That's garbage. They think they don't know how to pray. That's garbage. If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. Yeah. Or I should say, you have the ability to pray if you can talk. And even if you couldn't talk, you could worship God from your heart. Amen. Amen. You know, because there's people that have situations and they might not be able to utter words. God sees their heart. Praise God. Now, you can't be one of those people if you can talk. Yeah. Then you have to do the word and lift your voice. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Psalms 100 and verse 4, look what the Bible says. Enter into His gates. What's His gates? His presence. That special place that He wants with us. He's giving you, how good of Him to give us instruction. He knows we're human. He knows sometimes our brains get in the way. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Enter in with Me. The way you're going to enter into My gates with thanksgiving. Didn't Jesus give thanks? In His courts, where He's at, with praise. Praise God. Enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Now, this is what's going to help you here. Praise and worship when it comes to prayer is what will knock the rust off. Because praise and worship or giving thanks, and we'll look at this next week, it puts your attention on Him. It puts your attention on the spiritual realm. And what it does for you is if you'll stay in a place of thanksgiving and praise and worshiping Him, it will kick you over from the natural realm to the supernatural spiritual realm. When people say, you know, there's so much going on, there's so much commotion, there's so many thoughts, my flesh is so loud, I tell them the same thing. Worship God. Just worship God. Just worship God. Just praise Him. And if you'll stay in that place long enough, the anointing will fall in that place and it'll kick you over from the natural carnal realm to the spiritual realm. He tells you, enter in this way. Let's get started the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise and worship is the doorway. That's where you start. Kicks you over to that realm. Now, I love this. Go to Matthew 26 and verse 36. Just looking at different things that the Lord showed me. Again, we won't be able to cover everything. Matthew 26 and verse 36. says, "Then Jesus came with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go pray yonder.'" Of course, we know this is the night he's arrested, and he's crucified the next day. "Sit here while I go pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Well, you would be too if you had to face what he had to face. "Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here," or wait here, "and watch with me." He went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying. What a glimpse this is into the prayer life of Jesus, and it's going to help you tonight. "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That was the first time. He cometh unto his disciples and finds them asleep and says unto Peter, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time. Everybody say second time. And he prayed again. Look what he said to the Father. "Oh, my Father." Now this is the Son of God talking to the Father. "If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done." Basically, I want this cup gone from me, but if I can't do it, your will be done. Verse 43, "He came and found them were asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time the same words." What words? "Father, if it's possible..." Well, first of all, let's look at what he didn't say. Okay, got to go to prayer, and I got to act like something I'm not, and I got to act like I'm not real, and I got to act like nothing's troubling me. And so, "Father, I'm ready for this cross, and I'm going to do this, and I'm the man for the job, and I got this, and I'm ready." No. My point is this. Jesus was real in prayer. Jesus didn't come trying to look like anything. Jesus didn't come trying to sound like anything. Now, he did surrender to the Father's will, which is the thing to do, because that's where the blessing is. But he came and poured out his heart, poured out his feelings, and just talked to his Father. The same way if my kids came home from school and had a bad day, if someone were to pick on them, if something were to go wrong, I don't want them to act all tough. I don't want them to try to put on a show. Just come and be with Dad so I can help you. And Jesus, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus was real with what? "I'm struggling here. Dad, I'm going through something here." Man, it gives me chills. The rules and regulations and how we do this and that gets in the way of our prayer time. Just be you. The Father wants you. Now, should we be people of faith? Absolutely. Should we do the Word? Absolutely. But just come to the Father and talk to Him. Tell him about your day. Tell him about things that are troubling you. Tell him about things that are hurting you. I love when Pastor Nancy Dufresne told the story. She was just real with the Father. She said she was at a test and trial, and she said, "You know, Lord, it feels, I know that we're faith people, we don't walk by our feelings, but if I'm just being open with you, you know, just being a daughter with her daddy, I want Abby, just tell me the truth. Tell me how you're feeling, then I can help you with how you're feeling. Yeah. Tell me with what you're going through, Caleb, so I can help you." Jesus just poured out his heart. And Pastor Nancy poured out his heart. She said, "Father, it seems like, and I know we don't walk by our feelings, but this is how it feels, that I'm being beaten on. That things are coming against me and hitting me." And I want to go to something real quick. You don't have to turn there. But in Matthew chapter 7, it says, "The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house." And she said to the Father the words, "It feels like I'm being beat upon." What was she doing? What Jesus was doing. "Dad, I'm having trouble here." Just being open with the Father. And she came with an open heart to the Father, and she said, "It feels like I'm being beat against." And the Holy Ghost told her, notice what the Bible says about when it's beating against the house. That's the last stage of the test. The Holy Ghost told her, "You're in the last stage of the test. You're about to come out of this thing." And it changed the whole thing. But how did it start? her coming to the Father. Not trying to look tough and going through rules and regulations, make sure I say the right thing. Just be you. Just go to the Father and talk to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to finish this tonight. I haven't even gone an hour yet, so stay with me. I like to close about an hour. I got about 10 minutes for an hour, and I want to get us done, but I want to get this out because I want to help you tonight. To get the benefits of this, go to Hebrews 11:6. I don't know about you, but my prayer time's different. No. After this message, my prayer time's different. The way I approach the Father, the way I think of the Father, how He longs for me. He wants private time with me. My goodness. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We know that. For he that cometh to God, well, what's coming to God? Praying. Coming to His presence. Coming into where He's at. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. Now, you could say, you could look at it this way, kind of like this. He that makes a sandwich must be hungry. Their hunger shows why they made the sandwich. So it's saying, if a person actually does come unto God, it's because they really believe He's real. It's a faith problem when you don't go into the Father's presence. And faith pleases God. Because He's saying, if you're a faith person, and you truly believed I was, must believe that He is, if you truly believe that I am, how could you stay away from me? It's a faith problem. And faith pleases God. And not only that, He says, if you believe, if you really believe that I am, you'll come unto me. And then you also believe that I reward because I'm a good dad.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
It's a faith problem. Now, here it is. If you don't approach prayer by faith, now what's faith? Not sight. Not feeling. You'll never get the benefits of what prayer intends for you to get if you don't approach it by faith. Here's what I mean. We're praying to something we can't see. We're talking to something, we're bearing our soul and our heart to something we can't feel. We don't hear their voice. And we think, well, it'd be better, you know, in a human interaction. No, human interaction's lesser interaction than it is with God. You just haven't renewed your mind to that yet. Amen. You have to approach prayer by faith. Now, again, how do you get faith? By hearing and hearing. So, what do? You get Psalms 100 and verse 4. You go over this message over and over again until the faith is in you that tells you, my Father wants me to come into His presence. He wants me to worship Him. He wants me to give Him thanks. He wants to hear about my life. He wants to bless me. He wants alone time with me. When you get that by faith, then you'll go into that place. Now, here's the thing with it, though. When you get to that place of prayer, we see with Jesus that the Bible talked about Jesus often withdrawing Himself. Over and over we see Jesus withdrawing Himself, Jesus going apart to pray. Well, He told us to always pray, right? If you'll stay in that place of prayer, see what happens is people get in that place of prayer and it's dry as can be. There's no feeling, there's no emotion, it's dry, and because that's not appealing to the flesh and mind, we leave. Again, this is where the faith comes in. That, let me give you an example. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 4, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, when I pray in tongues, I don't feel like anything's happening. But if I have faith in that word, I do that because I want the outcome that says I'll get. I don't have to feel it. I know that if I do it, I'm being built up. Same thing with the Father. You got to get over the feeling. You got to get over the emotion. You got to get the faith built up in you to go into that place to be able to stay there long enough. He said He'll reward you if you diligently seek Him. If you'll go into two things, diligence and solitude. I want to close with those words. Diligence and solitude. He said, I'll reward you if you'll diligently do it. That's what He said. Jesus often withdrew himself. He was in a place of prayer. But Jesus separated himself. Doesn't it say in Psalms 46:10, be still, and know that I am God? Remember, we can look at God as a natural father. There's times I want to tell things to my kids. And the TV's on. And the iPad's on. And they're looking at the iPad. And there's a toy on the couch with them. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. It's not getting into them. Why? The noise. He says, I want you to come apart with me. Be still. If you'll get still, you're going to know some things. Praise God. People don't stay still long enough. Why? Their faith's not there. How do you get your faith to get there? You hear this message over and over till you realize, my Father loves me. My Father paid a price for me to be here. My Father wants to get good things to me. He wants me to be real with Him. And you'll stay there and you'll pray and seek Him, praying in tongues, worshiping Him, knowing He said, I'll reward you. That's where the faith comes in. If you don't mix faith with praying, you're not going to get much blessing out of it. It's a faith action to pray and believe to hear something. So many people go through their whole life, they never hear anything from God. It is priceless when you hear the voice of God. I don't mean the audible voice. I mean when you get quiet and you spend that time with Him and your fellowship with Him and you're worshiping Him and you're praying and you're bearing your heart and have Him give you instruction or revelation. It is the most precious thing, but it's only found in prayer. I'll reward them if they casually, no. I'll reward them if they do it every once in a while, no. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. Staying in that place by faith. How do you get the faith? The Word of God. I'm stirred to pray. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray in a second because we might as well do what the Bible says. Hallelujah. But go ahead and pray with me real quick. Let's close our eyes. I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. For those that are viewing, and we're talking about this wonderful Father. And boy, is He wonderful. But He's not a Father to the whole earth. The whole earth is His creation. All the people are His creation. But the whole earth are not His children. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to as many as received Jesus, to those people He gave the right to be called the children of God. So the way that you become a child of God is by receiving Jesus. So if you want this Father that we're talking about, it goes through His Son, Jesus. And the way you receive Him, the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you're listening and you say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm one of God's children. I've believed in Him. I've gone to church. I've been a good person. Or you say, you know what? I have not gone to church. I've not been a very good person. Whatever. None of that matters. It's what you do with Jesus. And if you're viewing and you can say, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm a child of God. I'm not sure if I've ever entered into a relationship with Him. It's easy. You don't have to join this church. You don't even have to step foot in church to join God's kingdom and be a member of His family. But if you can say in your heart of hearts you believe in Jesus, then you're qualified. And the only thing left to do is to invite Him. So for those people that are viewing right now, I ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, then all you got to do is call on His name. And I want to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to think up the word yourself. I just ask you to mean the words that you say. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I ask everybody, even if you've done this before that's viewing, let's join in by faith with people that potentially might be doing this for the first time. And for that person that you say, you know what, I've never asked Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I just ask you to mean this with your heart, but go ahead and say these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are real. I believe that you are real. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, congratulations. You are now a child of God. You have the eternity's best dad on your side and working for you. And I do encourage you, send me an email, email address is on the website, give me a phone call, let me know. Because there's other things I want to get into your life and impart unto you. But let's go ahead and let's take a moment, you know, and practice what we've preached and what we've heard. Now, I'm going to lead you in this. But we know, number one, he's longing for this. Oh, he's so excited to hear from his kids. We know that, praise God. I do encourage you to spend some alone time with him. But also, we know that he's given us instruction how to enter in. We all have things to be thankful for. And he is a God that has things to be worshipped for. So let's give thanks to him. You say, what does that look like? Thank him for your life. Thank him for your blessings. Thank him for your salvation. And then worship him for who he is. So go ahead and let's just close our eyes and pray. Just talk to him as he's your dad. Father, I love you so much. Lord, I'm just smitten with you. I'm just speaking to him from my heart. Not trying to put on a show, not trying to sound like anything, just how I talk to him in private. Father God, I love you so much. I just want you to know that I love you. I just am so grateful for you and your love and your mercy. Father, where would I be without you? You've given me hope. You've given me a home in heaven. You've given me an eternal family that loves me and cares for me and prays for me. And you gave me Jesus. Thank you, Father. That price that you paid with your son's blood, thank you. What a demonstration of how much you love me, how much you care for me. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Glorify your name. Magnify you. Father, thank you for my health. Thank you for the prosperity and the supply that you've given me. Lord, I don't want to take any of it for granted. Thank you for a home. Thank you for a vehicle. Thank you for clothes and for food and for water. Thank you for the opportunity to live in a free country. Thank you for giving me a church. Thank you for giving me a pastor. For my family, Father God. Thank you so much. You are so wonderful. And Father, I worship you. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are good. You are kind. You are kind. You are wonderful. You know, Abby, the other day, she thanked me for dinner. I had made her dinner, and she was sitting in the playroom, and she ate it, and she brought her plate out to the kitchen, and I heard her little voice say, "Thank you for dinner, Daddy." That blessed me. It blesses your father when you thank him. When my kids dote on things that I can do well, whether it's shoot a bow or shoot baskets with them or fix something, and they tell, "Wow, Dad, you're so good at that." Dad, when they dote on me, that blesses me. It blesses the father when his children dote on him. It's not because you have an ego, Father. I don't need my kids to do that to stroke my ego. It blesses me. I don't need my kids to thank me because I'm in some self-righteous place. No, it blesses me. You're not endeavoring to be some arrogant, pig-headed, you know, boastful, gloating entity. No, it blesses you when your children love on you. So I tell you, you're good, Father. You are strong and mighty and powerful. Father, you are so smart. You are so kind. You are so loving. You are a healer. You are a provider. And Lord, just like Jesus did, he talked to you about life, the good and the bad. Father, this coronavirus, it's messing some things up. Father, I thank you. I come in agreement with all the saints right now that this thing ends, and it ends fast. Father, we thank you. Your power is greater than this thing. Your word is greater than this thing. So, Father, we agree that this comes to an end quick. And, Father, that we can get back to church together, worshiping together, loving on one another. Father, we're all craving that. So, Father, we talk to you about things that are going on. Lord, help those people that are struggling financially. Help them. Father, there's people that are struggling financially. Help them. Lord, there's people that are struggling with fear. Lord, help them with their fear. Lord, there's people that need answers. Lord, I pray that you bless them with answers. Father, you're just so good and so merciful. I could go for hours. I know we can't go for hours, but I love you. I have a whole renewed, I've been jump-started by your word. Praise God. And I love you for it. Thank you for your precious word. Yes, Father, we praise you tonight. I just ask everybody that's watching just to praise him right now. Just to worship him. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Master. You're a good Father. Yeah, that's good, Father. The Holy Ghost just said, we need to get over our personalities. We need to get over our comforts. What do I mean? Well, I'm not comfortable worshiping God. You need to get over that. Well, I'm not comfortable talking to. It's because your faith's not there yet. Jesus said this when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I thank you that you always hear me. Amen. He had faith that he's not speaking to dead air. My words are falling upon the Father's ears, and he loves it. And if you're uncomfortable and that's not your thing, you need to get over that. Because you're missing out. And how do you get over that? By faith. By faith, praise. The same way that when I came into a church like this and I saw in the Bible, you know, I saw people raising their hands and worshiping out of their mouth, and boy, that weirded this Methodist boy right out, you know. I hadn't seen anything like that. Well, I have a choice. I see in the Word that God likes it. I have a choice to go with my comfort zones or what makes God comfortable. Well, I didn't just automatically raise my hands. I got the Word in me. Faith comes by hearing. And finally, I got faith to raise my hands. I got faith to worship God. It's the same thing with prayer. Yeah. Well, I'm not comfortable worshiping. I'm not comfortable praying. You just don't have enough faith yet. Yeah. And it's not okay to leave it with your comfort zone. That's right. You'll miss out, praise God. Amen. Father, thank you for that help. That's good correction. Somebody needed that. Somebody needed to hear that little spanking, but we like spanking. Spankings are good. We love you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you were blessed tonight. I trust that tonight, before you go to bed, spend some time with your Father. It'll be a renewed sense of just, I don't know, blessing. And it'll just be a wonderful time with you and him. And thank you for tuning in. We sure appreciate your faith, your hunger. Don't be discouraged during this time. We'll be back together soon, praise God. And I appreciate your prayers, your faithfulness to join online and hunger, your faithfulness to give. And please know you're loved and you're prayed for. And I already can't wait till Sunday morning. And just know we love you, we care about you. Have a blessed rest of your week. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed.